Okay, let's begin. Parshas Ba'alosecha does have some mitzvos that we could have more directly pulled from within its midst, but I thought rather than go with a truly Parshas Ba'alosecha mitzvah, I would be a little bit more creative and use the menorah in the Mishkan inspiration to speak about the candle lighting that we do more regularly, which is of course Shabbos candles every week. Now, in my own defense, there is a very beautiful actual medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni on our parsha this week, which does connect the candles of the menorah and the Mishkan, and then eventually the Beis HaMikdash, to the candles that we light in our home every week. The Gemara speaks about how even though the whole world is a testament to God's honor, Olam HaZeh is all with the Mishkan itself being a source of light. Nevertheless, Hashem said, even within the Mishkan, L'chvodi ha'neros ha'yudolkim l'tocho. Even though the Mishkan itself is a source of light for the world, still, they needed these candles. Similarly, the Medrash that talks about how it will be dafka through candles, that the kavod of the Shechina ultimately be manifest in the time of the Mashiach, in the time of the Geula. The Medrash quotes a very well-known pasuk in Tzefanya, in the first perek, how it will be Achapesas Yerushalayim Baneiros. Again, obviously this is all figurative, but the connection of candles and light being how Hashem reveals Himself ultimately in the end of days. And then the Gemara says the following, the Medrash, excuse me, Neiros Shel Basar V'dam. Someone has their own candle, they need candles. So it could be out of any material. It could be cheres, it could be nechoshed, it could be whatever you want. It's whatever a person's personal taste or style prefers. However, says the Kavod Shabbos, neroseha hein kvoda. But when it comes to the Kavod of Shabbos, so then there, it's not subjective, it's not left to every person to decide, but rather we're talking about Hashem's Kavod. Just as Hashem had candles in the Mishkan, so too the candles of Shabbos are the kavod. And then says the, circling it back, tying the thread all together, says the Medrash, if we're careful in observing this mitzvah of Shabbos candles, ani mareh lechem neros shel tzion, which could be understood, I guess, at least for us, in one of two ways. You could say that we've already all merited it. El Baruch Hashem have the zechus of lighting Shabbos candles every week in Eretz Yisrael with neros shel tzion. Or perhaps the more apocalyptic inspiration of the Medrash, one day there will be the ultimate Geula Shalema in Sion, which will have the merit to participate in. So this is, on the one hand, it's a very beautiful, kind of flowery, inspirational Medrash. It serves one purpose. Number two, it's my connection to the Parsha.
Maybe Nero Shel Sion is the menorah.
When we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know. I don't think it means, although this is an interesting midrashic discussion, I don't think it means the candle that, so to speak, God's going to do the geula with. I think it means to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in Neiros Shel Tzion. I don't know how specific, I don't know if it's even able to know for sure, but it's an allusion to some great national, big picture salvation.
What is the source of this?
That's what we're getting to.
The
yes, so this is my petah, because this connects us to Parshas Ba'alosecha. But I wanted to do the following. There's a lot of material for the Shana Bet girls that I teach in seminary. I have, I think, 4 shiurim on Neiros Shabbos. So we can't do everything. Meretz Hashem, if we were together next year, we could do it again, maybe. But we're not going to discuss everything. There is a lot to discuss. We can't do it all. What I would like to do is to break up the shiur into 2 parts. Number one is Jeremy, do any extra short sheets?
Yeah.
I want to break this year up into 2 parts. One is I want to get a little bit of a background, a little bit of an introduction of what is the obligation or why do we light Bichlal. And then secondly, I want to fast forward to a detail, admitting that we're passing over all sorts of other important topics, subtopics, but I want to fast forward to an important detail, which is the I forgot to light question. Some of us have heard about this, almost a rumor, is there this thing, I have to add a candle, don't I? Seems to be shrouded in mystery. So I could say that it's rare, but it's not unheard of. I think I got in my time in the rabbinate at least twice I got the question, maybe 3rd time. So not as many times as people put the fleishik spoon in the coffee, but It's a real shaila, and it's interesting. It's very interesting, and it actually brings together a number of other questions, including some very modern questions about how our Shabbos candles relate to the thousands of watts coming out of the ceiling. So let's step by step. Again, we won't get to everything, and I can almost predict that there'll be questions that we raise that will just be natural, but beyond the scope of this particular shir. But let's see where we can go. So if take a look at the second source on the sheet, it's a Gemara well known in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kaf Hei, Amud Bet. And the Gemara here is just commenting on, I think there's some more sheets even there, if anyone looks, if we need. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnayos in the second Perek, B'Meman Likin, we know them from Shul, how there are certain oils that we're not supposed to use. So the Gemara says, why not? There are wicks we can't use either. The wicks because they don't hold the fire well. But how come certain oils you weren't supposed to use? So the Gemara, you would think, you know, there's something mystical and spiritual, and if I would go to Tzfat, I'd get one kind of an answer or something. The Gemara is, you know, much more prosaic. The Gemara says a much more practical problem. They stink. They have a bad odor. So you'll say, nu, says the Gemara, what's the problem with that? Well, people aren't going to want to be in the room with the light if coming with it is accompanied this bad odor. So the Gemara says, if you look at the end of the second line, Amar Le Abaye, V'yetze, what's the big deal? You light the candles, 10 minutes, 20 minutes later, that bad odor is wafting through the room, so you leave the room. What's the big deal? So the Gemara says something very intriguing. Amar Le Shani Omer Hadlokas Ner Shabbos Chova. And then just reiterates in an earlier tradition, Rav Nachman Amarav, Halakas Ner Shabbos Chova. There's an obligation, the Gemara says, to light Shabbos candles. And what you see from this quote, it's not, someone want to tell me what's the subtle deal, but compelling inference that we can take. Right? It's not, apparently, the Chova, the obligation, isn't just to light candles. How do we see that from the Gemara? Because you did light candles. So what do you see beyond that? Think a little bit deeper about it. Not just stay in the room, but what broadly, what is the Gemara? It doesn't say it, but it's basically screaming it without saying it. You have to benefit. Exactly. Very good. Clearly this Gemara, without saying it, is telling us that part of that obligation is not just to light, but rather to benefit. Now, why is there a mitzvah to benefit? We don't know yet.
But can you also say that Shemai, when he says V'yetze, Shemai just won't light because he can't leave the house or the room all the time?
It's possible, but it sounds like that's not the fear. It doesn't sound like that. The Gemara could have said, Shema lo yadlik. I think V'yetze implies that you lit. The reason it's a foul smell is because you lit. If you didn't light, it wouldn't be a foul smell. Yeah.
You would think that the mitzvah is the halakha, that if you don't have halakha, it's a prophet of the Torah.
How far to go is a good question. How much hana? I mean, even the person who leaves the room because it smells bad already had X amount of minutes of hana'ah. Right. I don't know anywhere, by the way, this I won't have an answer for, not only today, I don't want to duck, I won't have an answer next year either. How much hana? I don't think there's some minimum shiur. As much benefit as you get is even more mitzvos. I think there's no limit on the top end. What the minimum is, I have no idea, honestly. It's imprecise. A little bit. I'll tell you again, we're digressing, but it's an important practical shaila. You get invited out Friday night. So let's, just for the sake of this halachic point, assume that you lit with regular candles and you're not worried about the fire, you know, you have everything safe, there's no fire hazard, you don't mind leaving your house even with candles. But let's say you lit, you know, 18 minutes, 20 minutes before Shabbos, whatever your minhag is. And then you leave right away. In Israel in particular, this is more relevant because it's so common for women to go to shul on Friday night, something which is unheard of virtually in Chutz Laretz. Or, let's say, which is a very common shaila I used to get in America all the time, a woman wants to drive to to where she's eating. So she'll make the whole thing with a tanai, which is not a topic for today's shir, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But the point is that she's leaving right away. She's not going to be in her house on Shabbos because that would defeat the purpose. She can't then drive. So what do? You lit, but you had no hana on Shabbos. So the answer is, I had to give this, you know, direction to people all the time, is that no problem, but you have to light in a way in which you're sure that either you get hana on the front end, Daven Kabbalah Shabbos or something by the candles before you leave. But if that's not possible for any of the reasons I just mentioned, so make sure when you come home before you go to sleep, get a little hana. Now, I never told anyone 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2.2 minutes. I don't know how much, but you should have a little bit of hana. So that's clear. I think that's the direction of this Gemara. Now, what is the obligation? I mean, it's nice we have a medrash which makes an allusion to the Parsha Baaloscha. But one reason why this could never be a purely Chumash-based topic is because it's not a Torah-based obligation. In fact, the Meiri says this, as others say this clearly, Halakas ner b'Shabbos Chova mi divrei sofrim. Says the Meiri, very clearly, it's rabbinic. The Rambam, in the source below that as well, makes it clear, Kederach shemavarech al kol hadvarim shuchayev behem mi divrei sofrim, which is actually an interesting Gemara, also in Masechet Shabbos. How is it that we can never make a bracha on a rabbinic mitzvah? Just in question, right? After all, we're saying Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, but Hashem was not v'tzivanu. He did not command us to read the Megillah, to light Chanukah candles, or apparently to light Shabbos candles. The Rabbanim, the Chachamim did it. So the Gemara there has an answer for that question. The Rambam doesn't get into the weeds. The Rambam doesn't get into the details of that here, but it's interesting that the Rambam felt the need to phrase it the way he did, that, you know, this is a rabbinic mitzvah, clear, but you should know there is a bracha like all other rabbinic mitzvahs. Now, one of the things which both the Rambam and the Meiri, and really the Medrash already alluded to, and I've been dancing around, but now I want to focus on more laser-like, is, well, what is the kiyum? If the Chachamim made a takana, what are we trying to accomplish? So what we saw in the original source, the Mishkan is Kvod Hashem, and even in the Mishkan is the menorah. Shabbos is Kvod Hashem, and through that, what do? We light candles. It was clear in that medrash, we had one phrase repeated, that lighting candles is a kavod. It's a way of showing honor for Shabbos. Interestingly, though, there's another medrash which uses a different halachic term. If you take a look at the medrash in number 2, the medrash Tanchuma quotes the source. Again, it's an allusion. I mean, it's a rabbinic source. It doesn't mean it's a Torah obligation, but still the source, apparently in Tanakh. What's the pasuk from the Navi in Yeshaya? The Karosa LaShabbos Oneg, specifically targeting that word, and then alluding to something we spoke about a few moments ago. And what if you just want to sit in the dark, or you want to walk out of the smelly room into the dark room? What's so bad about that? Says the Medrash, Ein Ze Oneg. There's no Oneg to be in the dark house. So having light is pleasure. Oneg means pleasure, enjoyment. It's a more enjoyable Shabbos experience. Right? You know, sometimes we who are, you know, more naturally or more long-term in the program, so to speak, so I know that sometimes myself, whether I've been involved in NCSY or other times, sometimes you feel a little bit, you know, artificial sometimes with this focus on the Shabbos experience, and make Shabbos fun, and all sorts of stuff, and like in the back of your mind, you're knowing, yeah, then they'll become frum, and then they'll see how not fun Shabbos is. You know, it's a little bit a challenging kind of a thing. So, leave us, I don't want to get distracted into some meta Jewish experience kind of discussion, but I will just say this, that you see already a makor for the idea that Shabbos is supposed to be pleasurable. Now, maybe the problem is not what we're doing for the beginners programs. Maybe the problem is in our own Shabbos. If we don't feel a sense of oneg for Shabbos, so then maybe the problem is more with us. You know, in the long summer Shabbosos, that's like what, you know, separates, if forgive the expression, the men from the boys. You know, people who really love Shabbos love summer Shabbosos. And for other people, shall I say, typically teenagers and the like, the summer Shabbosos, you know, they're like crawling out of their skin. You know, it's like another hour. So, okay, that's a nisayon that's part of our religious development, and hopefully we're all still developing. But this medrash talks about it being oneg. Shabbos is supposed to be something that is enjoyable, and one of the things that adds to that, not the only thing, one of the things apparently is Shabbos candles. This quote-unquote machlokes, if you go between the midrashim, is also reflected in a debate in the Rishonim. The Meiri, which we saw above, take a look a few sources above. We saw that Meiri, I didn't finish the sentence, but if you go back to where it's underlined, the Meiri said it's a rabbinic mitzvah, shehi rosh l'kol oneg. Interesting, I don't know if he means it literally or more hyperbolically, but says the Meiri, this is like the best oneg of Shabbos are the candles. So leave aside the best. I don't have anything to add to that adjective, but the Meiri is clear that it is part of oneg, whether it's the Rosh to call the oneg, or maybe for you the Cholent is the oneg, Shein Abashana, Shabbos Tainug, Danep is the oneg. That may depend if you have kids at home or not. There's all sorts of ways of defining oneg. But the Meiri certainly gives a very strong prominence, like the Medrash Tanchuma had, that candles are part of the oneg of Shabbos.
Rosh called oneg doesn't mean that it's...
How do you understand it?
It's the beginning. It's the head of all oneg, because it brings in Shabbat.
That's interesting. I did not read the Meiri that way. Definitely possible. Hold your thought till we get to the last. So hold your thought till we get to well, like I said, this version is in the top of the second page, or actually, other than my version, is it where you see the Griz and the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. Keep your thought in mind, okay? When we get to that, okay? Yeah. Okay, you agree? Okay. Keep it in mind. It's a good Hara. This is the beauty of Torah. That's the beauty of a Shir. I did not read it that way, but I'm happy. But keep it in mind when you'll see why I'm asking you to hold the thought when we get to the Vilna Gaon. The Griz. I just want to point out this also machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos both commenting on that Gemara we saw before, which had said Nero Shabbos Chova is an obligation. So Rashi just says very matter of factly, when the Gemara had said that lighting candles is an obligation, Kavod Shabbos Hu. She'ein Su'udah Chashuva El Magam Or Ke'ein Yamama. So either he means that literally if it'd be pitch black, it'd be so it's a Kavod to have light. Or what I think he may also mean, and it has a very important resonance in the modern electronic world that we live in, there's a certain kavod to having what we call, in the Western world, a candlelit dinner. Candles set a tone. There's an ambiance. Even when they're not adding wattage in any substantial way. It has...
They didn't have any.
Of course not. No. Obviously.
Oh,
there was no electricity in Rashi's time. Obviously, of course. I understand that. But again, so what does he mean when he says it's an honor to have light?
It's because you don't want to be sitting in darkness on Shabbos.
I'm saying, but why is that an honor?
Because during the week, what happened was, I can tell you from my father, when he was younger, he used to come back from work in Timan, and he used to go ahead and sit there in the dark, go to sleep when the sun set, or after nightfall, and wake up first thing in the morning.
Good.
So on Shabbos, to extend your time, you need that light.
Good. Why is that kavod?
Because
why is that honor?
Because you're honoring. Why is it honor?
So I'm giving you my admittedly.
The ability to stay awake and enjoy some more.
You used a different word. You used enjoy. Why am I harping on this? Not to be picky, because look at the next source. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says no. You need light because without that, that's not honor. And I 100%. And what is, how does Tosfos put it? She yiso dafka about the eating. So we all know this is also a fact. We know this, right? When you can see your food, it tastes better. Certainly is a greater oneg to be not eating in the dark, but to be having, you know, I would add again, maybe this is the pulpit rabbi darshan in me, the ability to see your wife and kids and see your spouse and talk to people which you can't do in the dark. This is part of oneg Shabbos, if you're eating in the dark. So again, I agree with you described, and again, for those of us, you know, born into the worlds that we were born in, the fact that you could be, you're talking about something so recently, having, you know, coming home into the dark, right? You weren't talking about a great-great-grandfather at all, right? Your father, right, was living the life that they were living in the Mishnah, in that regard, that when the sun set, there was no light. So you're 100% right, but my point, so Ein Hanami, there's clearly a benefit to having the light. But is it Kavod Shabbos? Is it more prestige, honor of Shabbos? Or does it help you enjoy Shabbos more? I'm going to try a little bit, but not really. That's really a shir in its own right. Yes, I alluded to that in the beginning of this year. I said, how do the candles light to the thousands of watt coming out of the ceiling? We're going to try, I hope, time permitting, to allude to that at the end of this year. But it's only going to be one part of it. Really, I could give a whole year on that, honestly. There's a lot on that. It's really a big topic. But just want to point out, quickly, there's a third dimension. There's Kavod, and then there's Oneg. There's also a well-known Gemara, also two Dapim earlier, two pages earlier in Shabbos, Tafchav Gimel. Talks about Nebuch, a person who doesn't have sufficient funds for both Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles. The Gemara says, Ner Beso Adif, use the money for Shabbos candles, Mishum Shlom Beso. That apparently there's this new dimension, which we were previously unaware of, called Shalom Bayis, which apparently is part of the Kiyum of Shabbos candles, and therefore, so that's such an important Kiyum, prefer Shabbos candles. Now, I hate to break anyone's bubble, but the earliest references to Shalom Bayis have nothing to do with anything you've ever heard at a Shabbat Brachas or under a Chuppah. There ain't no romance in it, unfortunately. Not that's true. Shalom Bayis in the romantic sense is very important and real. But Rashi says something a little bit less poetic. Rashi says, Shebnei Beso Mitztarin Leishei B'choshech. It's no fun to sit in the dark. And in other Makaras, Rashi speaks about almost, you know, stubbing your toe. Right, if it's dark, it's just not fun. You're gonna bang, you know, your calf, your shin. That hurts when you bang into something. So you have to have light, and that's called Shalom Bayis. The ability to not be worried that you're gonna bang into something, and have, you know, not be able to see anybody. And not, I mean, now you might, in your mind, you might be thinking, how is that different than oneg? And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Lavush who says Eina Chanami. It's the same thing. The Kavod and Oneg, the Oneg and Shalom Bayis are synonyms. But the truth is, most poskim, or even most Sifrei Halacha, if you open them up, they'll say three things about Shabbos candles: Kavod, Oneg, and Shalom Bayis. So often we see those as a little bit different. I want to mention, before we get into the issue of one more point, which I think will open up and deepen the discussion a little bit, and that is the Rambam's opinion. Because until now we've seen diverse opinions. But, you know, the Meiri is allowed to argue with Rashi, he's allowed to argue with Tosfos. The Rambam's problem is that he argues with himself. If you take a look at the Rambam in number 3, this is the Rambam in the beginning of the 30th chapter, Perek Lamed. The Rambam is a very famous Perek, where the Rambam, having talked a lot about some of the other details in the first 29 chapters, the Rambam kind of gives you a broad introduction almost to the greater picture of Shabbos. He says there's actually 4 mitzvos on Shabbos. 2 are from the Torah, Midoraisa, 2 are Midivrei Sofrim, 2 are rabbinic, but not just like, you know, recent Takana, but rather Mufarash and Adai Nevi'im. They go back to the time of the Nevi'im, perhaps. In the Torah, what are the two? We know this, of course, from the Aseres HaDibros, the 2 sets of the Luchos in Yisro and in the Eschanan. We know this from Lachadodi. We sing it every Friday night. Zachor v'shamor. V'divurecha devro. But the idea of the positive and the negative, the mitzvot asay, kiddush, and the lamates malachos. What are those other ones which are nitparshu idei hanevi'im? What are all these other rabbinic mitzvot that fit into apparently 2 categories? Kavod and oneg. Our familiar friends, kavod and oneg. And they both come from the same parsha in Pasuk, in the Navi, in Yeshaya, the karas l'shabbos oneg, right? And then also, it should be not only a kodesh, mechubad. Should be kadosh mechubad. So we see idea of oneg and kavod. Okay, now the question is, which one is nearer Shabbos? See, here the Rambam says, four halachos later, halacha hey, he gives you a program for the day. Mesader adam shulchano be'erev Shabbos. Right? There's a mitzvah, if you can, not everyone can. So in some families it's a little bit too hectic, but it's a mitzvah, if you can, to set the table before Shabbos. Mesader adam shulchano be'erev Shabbos. I remember a few years ago when I was in Baltimore, in one of Rabbi Fran's big tshuva drushas, which had like 1,000 people live and 10,000 people by internet or something, he was talking about Shalom Bayis in the broader sense of like having a calm home. And he was talking about a certain woman who had written on the letter who said there was, Fridays are often like the most tense day. So this woman, I guess, had years of like a lot of tension in her house. So the preparation for Shabbos, she made a Kabbalah. You heard that speech?
Piano.
I don't remember. You heard that speech? Okay, I was there. And I don't remember the piano, but he mentioned this woman wrote him a letter. She made a Kabbalah before she goes to sleep on Thursday night. The table is set for Shabbos. Yeah, it's impressive. I came home that night, and I said, "We will never do that." Alavai. Okay. Anyway, but that's a din. It's not something to sneeze at. It says the Rambam. It's Kavod Shabbos, and then the Rambam continues. Mesader Shulchan B'Motzei Shabbos. You know, another topic. Malava Malka. But if you can set your table and have a Malava Malka, then you have Kavod in the beginning of Shabbos and at the end of Shabbos. And then the Rambam continues further, and he says Tzarech Letakein Beiso Mibod Yom, cleaning the house. Right, when your kids want to know, why do I have to clean up the room? I don't know if this will help, but there is an answer, at least on Fridays. Kavod Shabbos. If you clean up the room before Shabbos, that's Kavod Shabbos. And then the Rambam says, "V'yeh ner daluk v'shulchan orech u'mita mutzas." You have to make your bed. Shekol elu chvod Shabbos hein. So the Rambam here is explicit that what is Shabbos candles? Like the Medrash we started with, like Rashi, it's for Kavod Shabbos. Okay, no problem, right? One problem. The next source. The Rambam in an earlier chapter says clearly what is the purpose of lighting candles? Shezeh b'chlal oneg Shabbos. So we've seen a battle of Midrashim, a battle of Rashi and Tosfos, and now we have a battle between the Rambam and himself. So this has gotten the attention of many of the commentaries on the Rambam, many Achronim, and they basically all agree methodologically with what the answer has to be. How can they... The Rambam wasn't schizophrenic, so what must he be saying? That it's both. Good, but that, if we stop there, that's cheating. Because we want to define that. if they don't, if what's the, which is again partially the, when I was asking you about the lights and your father and Tayman and stuff, okay, good, it's nice to have light. You don't have it the 6 days a week, but what is it? So what I was really asking you, and what we're really asking is, let's be more precise, be more analytic. What is the difference between kavod and onek? So this contradiction in the Rambam is not merely academic. It's important academically, but it's not just academic because it gives an opportunity for the poskim to define more precisely the difference. And I want to go through this quickly, and then we'll have time to do with sufficient thoroughness the question of when we forget, if we should forget. But let's just quickly, I'll share with you three approaches in the classical poskim. The first is the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says, if you look at the second line, Tzarech Lomar Ditarvayu Isnayu, right? They're both true, right? So that was the easy, we knew where it was going. But now comes the hard work to fill in the gaps. Yes, they're both true. Says Aruch HaShulchan, you know what it depends on? Where? The B'makom She'ochlin Hava Mechubad. Excuse me, Hava Mechavod Shabbos. It depends what room it's in. The room where you're eating, so that's the candlelit, that's the chashivas, shows a kavod of Shabbos, that's honoring Shabbos. Shari Chadarim, the other rooms, have a me'oneg Shabbos, shalo yikashel b'halichasal. Which actually alludes to something I said before, which kind of collapses together the categories of shalom bayis and oneg. Aruch HaShulchan, I mentioned to you, I think the Levush does the same thing. Says oneg is very prosaic, very down to earth. It's very minimalist. Oneg means you're not stubbing your toe, you see where you're going. So that is important in all of the rooms of the house, right? It wouldn't just, you know, it's not just that we want to have light here, right? If there was no light in the bathroom, you know, that could hurt also. So it's important to have light in other rooms of the house. That's oneg. Says Aruch HaShulchan, but when you have it by the meal, that lends a chashivas, that makes it important. Now, I saw some poskim, I don't remember who, but years ago I remember seeing some poskim who accepted that distinction but just inverted it. They said, when you have the meal with the light, that's a greater pleasure. That's an oneg, but maybe the light in other rooms are covered. I don't know. Sometimes when you're moving around the chess pieces on the board, it comes a little bit arbitrary at some point. But broadly speaking, just as one possible answer to keep in mind, says Aruch HaShulchan, it depends which room. So you might be thinking, the follow-up question is, well, does that mean I'm supposed to be lighting in every room? So the Aruch HaShulchan does not say that. Minimally, it's in from the Aruch HaShulchan, at least in this halacha, he doesn't give you any guidance on where you light. Maybe you have your choice where you light. You should just know, if you lit in the dining room, it would be kavod, and if you lit in another room, it would be oneg. Or maybe you should have light in all rooms. And that actually relates to the modern phenomenon. Poskim do speak about it, and I'll just digress for one moment, that whatever benefit there is from having candles lit, even in the modern era, part of the mitzvah, minimally for the shalom bayis factor, is having lights on in every room that you will use. Absolutely. And again, this would be the whole other shiur, which I'm not giving tonight. But there's no reason why, at minimum, and in some cases some poskim say, not just you should, not only that you can, but you ought to, when lighting, have in mind the electric lights that will be on, that you'll be benefiting from on Shabbos. In fact, many women have the practice, endorsed by many 20th century Gedolim, of turning on the electric lights right before, without any interruption, without any hepsek, do not stop, you know, do not pass go right to Shabbos candles. And when they make the bracha on the candles, they have in mind that light or lights that they just turned on, because that is absolutely part of the mitzvah. And again, in the modern world, we can actually accomplish all the halachos of the Aruch HaShulchan. We could have our kavod in the room, we could have the lights in the various other rooms, and in his opinion, that would actually be two. But whether you accept his distinction or not, there's no reason why there shouldn't be light in other rooms of the house, and that is all part of the mitzvah, absolutely.
It's interesting to know, certain hospitals in Israel, but also in Mount Sinai, they don't allow candles in the room, for obvious reasons.
Of course.
There's a switch that allows for the
home. So again, this is all part of that shear that I'm not giving, hotels, hospitals.
Yeah, but there was...
Anyway, I'm not giving that shear.
No.
So the chida. One of the great Sephardi poskim and poskim of any background, the Chida, who wrote over 100 Sfarim, I think, is the legend. So one of his many, many, many Sfarim is called the Machzik Bracha. And in this Sefer, the Chida, Chaim Yosef Dovid Azulai, he gives another possible answer. He says something very interesting, and it's really psychologically astute. This is table conversation with your children from this one line. He says, what is Oneg Shabbos? Oneg, he says, by definition, is Dover Nosaf al Minag Hachol. You know what pleasure in life is? Something that we're not used to. Once you're used to something, it doesn't matter what its properties are. Once you get used to something, it loses its edge. Right? This is exactly why there are so many families who are ruining their children. Because once you've given your children the expectation of all sorts of things, then it's just the expectation. It's not pleasurable. I don't know if any of you have been following this. If you have a little bit of a foot still in the old world, the Alter Heim, and especially if you like sports, there was a big controversy. You know, not just the Wisconsin recall, but a very important earth-shattering controversy. Apparently there's a very famous rapper. I don't know what his real name is, because they don't go by their real names, but his name is Diddy something. You know who Diddy is? Do you know the story I'm about to tell?
No.
That was his name 10 years ago. He has a new room. He's a new name. He has a new name. Maybe there's a new album, a new name. It's a Tudinim. Anyway, so he apparently lives in New York. I think in Westchester is one of his houses. He has a son who's a senior in high school. Well, apparently he's a pretty decent student. They made sure to say. I think like a 3.5 GPA, and he's a football star. And he just accepted a scholarship to play football at UCLA. So what's the controversy? The scholarship is valued at $54,000 a year. California is even more bankrupt than the rest of America. They don't need the money. Mr. Diddy is worth $500+ million. He's the wealthiest of all of the moguls in the rap world. So does he need $54,000 discount to send his kid to college? There's a whole controversy. Should he take it or not? Why am I mentioning this to you? Because as they're describing the wealth of this family, they mentioned that last year when Junior Diddy was a junior in high school and he turned 16, his father bought him a car for $360,000. So I thought of sending Mr. Diddy this chida. Because what is oneg in life? Davar shehu nosaf. So when you start off at 16 with a $360,000 car, where do you go from there? What's he going to get for graduating college? You know, what's going to be the 21-year-old birthday present? You know, and again, I'm being a little bit, I mean, everything I said is accurate. That's not even an exaggeration. I read that in the news, that story. But I remember as a kid when I had friends who got some very expensive cars, even in high school, I remember my father, who didn't know this chida, telling me this chida. So he says he thinks they're ruining their kids. Why would you give them? You know, we all try to do good for our kids, well for our children, but hopefully we're all aware that there's a balancing act. If we give them too much, then they just expect it. It's not something that's pleasurable. We all know that you can spoil someone. So the point is, just very simply, getting back to the thing that the chida actually said, which is that whatever you're used to in life, if it's $360,000 cars or something else, that's the baseline. That's not oneg, because human nature is that we get used to something, we take it for granted. Very astute, very obvious. Whatever your X is, wherever your baseline is, plus becomes the mitzvah. How does this relate to the Rambam Shita? Says the Chida very simply. Those of you who are not used to having light at night all week, then you'll have Shabbos candles Friday night. For you, that's Davar HaNosaf Mishar Yimos HaChol, he says. That's oneg. Because the whole week you're in darkness at night. Shabbos you have light. He says that's a pleasure. That's a hana. That's a geschmack. I mean, they probably didn't say geschmack in Tayman, but that's a geschmack. Maybe. So that's oneg. But he says, someone who anyway has lights, and he says, Baruch Hashem, he says, Rov bnei Adam, in Navarduk, in Machzik Bracha, I'm not exactly sure his history, where he lived exactly. But anyway, wherever he lived, and it's certainly Baruch Hashem true for us, most people have electricity, have lights all week. He says, then it's not oneg. What is it? Then it's kavod. Then the fact that you're lighting dafka for Shabbos, that doesn't really add to your oneg, after all. So you'll say, what light did it add? It added kavod. Now I am, again, with a little bit of a flair, I'm adding, and again, it's not just my flair, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others spoke in this language, that the kavod is the ambiance. With all the lights, it's still a different table, it's a different meal, it's a different room when it's candlelit. And that's, in essence, what he says. It's not oneg. There's no benefit, but there is kavod. Anyway, that's the second possible approach. I want to quickly just mention to you, outside, a very famous Brisker approach. Rav Soloveitchik used to quote it. It's in print in the name of his uncle, the Griz. The Griz is Rav Yitzchak Ze'ev, or known in Yiddish as Rav Velvel Soloveitchik. That was from the Yerushalayim Briskers, eventually after, you know, came over in the mid-20th century to Yerushalayim. And the truth is, before anyone in Brisk said it, the Vilna Gaon in Vilna said it much more tersely. But the Vilna Gaon points out, and again picked up by the Briskers, something very meduyak in the Lashon of the Rambam, which is that when the Rambam discusses these two aspects of Shabbos when to light, in one case the Rambam made very clear when he was talking about. When the Rambam said, we talked about cleaning the room and setting the table and lighting the candles, when was all that happening? Before Shabbos. So says the Vilna Gaon, says the Brisker Rav, anything you do before Shabbos, in anticipation of Shabbos, that's kavod. You have guests coming and you prepare for them. That shows the kavod, right? Someone who you don't respect, you put in less effort for. But the Shabbos Malka is coming, and you prepare before her arrival. Everything you do before Shabbos, for it, by definition, is kavod. But the same thing, i.e. the lit candles, the moment that shkia occurs, the sun starts to set, magically, the same candles, which 18, 20, 40 minutes ago, whenever you lit them, were kavod Shabbos, when it's actually Shabbos, those same candles give you another kiyum, another mitzvah, that's oneg. Oneg is the way you enhance your Shabbos experience. Kavod is the way you anticipate and thereby honor Shabbos. So unlike the Aruch HaShulchan, who said it depends on what room you're in, unlike the Chida, which said it depends on your economic situation, according to the Vilna Gaon and the Briskers, everyone, every week, can fulfill both. Because for those 18 minutes, or if you're running late, the 1 minute, but whatever before Shabbos you lit them, that was kavod. But after, the experience, the benefit, is on it. Okay?
I just want to point out, there's an interesting, I don't know if you saw it, but Kapach's Rambam, on this area of the Lucas and Shabbos, quotes his Talmud, Gerasan Hutzi, the head of the Yosha Rav Rashi of Keratona, and he then brings Zondio, and he says, having light in the house on Shabbos, Dafka, that's Oneg, and Kavod is discussed. Chiyuv of making a bracha, why is it a chova? Why is it more important? He goes back to the Talmud Karaim, who say, it's a very interesting kapach on this. They said that the Vadoish Kurum Shav Techem relates to before, after, you shouldn't have any fire lit. Therefore, Dafka on Shabbos, you make a bracha, and the Machazik it with a bracha.
Beautiful.
But on Yoptiv, we don't make a bracha.
The Tamani.
It's
very interesting.
You have to have light on it. Therefore, you have to have light. You can't rely on it.
But it's Dafka Shabbos for the Lo Sevaru. Very nice. I never knew that. I'm going to take a look. Thank you very much. That's beautiful. Very, very beautiful. Okay. So all of this was, this first part of the shiur was the Lechachila. 10 minutes, let's do the Bidi Eved. The what happened if you forgot? So first of all, let's, sometimes there's a lot of confusion about this. There is a real halacha. It's quoted, the source of it is the Maharil. Maharil, who's one of the fathers almost of Ashkenazic halachic practice. The Maharil says, here I didn't give you the original, but I gave you one of the earlier citations of it in the Darkei Moshe, number 4. The Darkei Moshe is by Rav Moshe Isserlish, the author of the Ramah, but it's his commentary on the Torah. So there, where he has more extended discussions, he quotes the Maharil, who talks about, he says, a woman, Sheshacha Chavlo Hilika near Shabbos, she didn't light at all. Didn't light at all. Listen carefully. Tzricha kol yameha lahosif al ner shel mitzvah. Yoter mi masha hayta regila lalik ad ata. And then he adds, by the way, tzricha tanit vividui. It's a serious thing. You need to do tshuva for it. It's not stam. It's not a little thing. You need tshuva, repentance. And as a punishment, you have to add a candle the rest of your life. The Rama himself here doesn't like it. Kol ze einu ela chumrois rechokos. Or as I put it, it's like the seminary girls that got all frum, they came home, they told the mothers the kitchen's not kosher, and da 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 da. And by the way, it's like, all these chumras. Who made up these chumras? There's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Medrash, it's not in the Rishonim. The Maharil came up with this idea. So serious, says the Ramah, it's a terrible chumra. And he adds, which is Rav Shechter makes this point all the time, most chumras lead to kulas. How many candles are you supposed to light? I don't have time to do the whole shiur on this. But strictly speaking, halachically, minimum is 1. But, the vatik minhag is to at least do 2. Where does 2 come from? Zachor v'shamor. On the pages of Shulchan Aruch, it mentions 2 other minhagim, which are completely in disuse. Some families did 7 for 7 days of the week, and others did 10 for the Aseres HaDibros. It is not clear at all how old or from where the very popular minhag came to add candles per children. But even though, does anyone here light extra candles for children? Okay, how many children do you have? Can I you have six? Can I how many candles do you light?
Eight.
Exactly. You don't light six. No, I didn't say that at all.
No, if it's the Shomar Zohar.
And you have six children.
And you don't do it for spouse.
No, who cares about them?
All right.
you don't do it for yourself either. You don't do it for yourself either. Right. What's my point? My point is, even those who have this minhag, it's not clear at all where it comes from. In the 20th century, and more recently, poskim have tried to like look back to see if they could find echoes or some hint to where that minhag comes from. But it's a very pretty minhag. It happens to not be my family minhag. But it is a very pretty minhag. Many families have that custom. It's not clear where it comes from. The page of Shulchan Aruch talk about 1, 2, 7, and 10. But my point is, even those who add, they still have the 2, because that has become the main thing of the Zohar v'Shamor. Fine. So here, if you make that mistake, so you have to add 1. That's why he uses the term 3. What's interesting is that even, so he says, if you make a Chumrah, so then you lose the Zohar v'Shamor. So the Chumrah, he says, of the Maril, what I call the, you know, those girls back from seminary Chumrah, so that, then you lose it, because it's 2 was Meduyak, it was a specific number. Sometimes less, sometimes more is less, and less is more. But at the end of the day, what does he say? Why am I calling it a seminary Chumrah? Because what does he say? Aval Hanoshim Nahagas Kedivrei Maril. What could I do? I say this all the time. Hechos Nida, Hechos Pesach, the women are always more machmir than the rabbis. Yes. It's not new. There's nothing new. So the Gadol Hador in Krakow is being makil, and the women are saying, we want to be machmir. So what's so fascinating? Look at the next source. The Rama himself in Shulchan Aruch. No mas. I give up. The women win. If you didn't know the Dark Emotion, you don't know any of the history, you don't know that he himself thought it was terrible. But when he wrote his authoritative code, the women won. And the women wanted to be machmir. So now, if you forget, don't blame the rabbis, blame your older sisters. Okay, so now let's get to a few important...
You're saying it's clear that if somebody forgets, they should...
Yeah, well, that part's clear. But there's a bit... We don't know the details yet. What counts as forgetting... What if you partially forgot? For example, so there's a few important details. I want to get to 3 or 4 points, and then we'll call it a night. Number one, in the next source, the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Brura has a very big machloket with the Prima Gadim. Let's say your minhag is to light 2, and you lit 1. It's not you didn't light at all, but you didn't light what you usually light. Let's say you light 8. And before, you know, Chveis, one of your children set the candles up, they left out one, you didn't even realize. Before you knew it, it's... And he only lit 7. It's too late. You can't fix it. What about that? So the Prima Gadim says, even if you're a chaser, even 1 candle of what you typically light, you have to add forever after. Shechasra ner echad, mimasha haisa regila, mitchila, yechayev. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it. The Mishnah Berurah says, velo nehira, the kozo rak minog. The whole thing is a minog from the Maril, from the seminary girls, from the whole thing. And therefore, says Mar, we don't add on to it. We're not going to be so machmer. You did it. You lit. So you didn't light 8, because you usually light 8. So I think a person has the right to be makel. If I was asked that shaylever, I would be makel in such a case. The Prima Gadim, though, you should know, there's an opinion out there that is machmer. Another interesting opinion is the chumra of the Rav Moshe Feinstein. You sleep away for Shabbos. In Rav Moshe's case, you go to your parents for Shabbos. Do you have to light or not? The answer is mi'ikar hadin, you do not have to light. You become part of the family of your host, whether it's your mother or mother-in-law, and their candle lighting counts for you. And yet, I never met a single woman who was sleeping anywhere for Shabbos who didn't want to light her own candles. Women have a very strong connection to this mitzvah, and almost, it's already quoted in Shulchan Aruch, women are machmir, again, it's a minhag, no one's against it, there's nothing wrong with it, you can even light with a bracha, there's nothing wrong with it, you don't have to, but you can light on your own. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks a shayla, a woman who usually lights on her own even when she goes to her mother's house, and a woman who was planning on lighting on her own and something happened and she forgot, but her mother did light. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, agreeing with his petitioner, Yafa Omer Kvotaroso, Shitzricha Lehosif Ner Lefi Minag. So that's the minag, is to light even when you're at your mother's house. She does have to add a candle. Many other poskim, including Rav Wozner from Bnei Brak, or Vavadja, Yosef, others, say, Ma pitom. That's only if you didn't have any candles. You're in your own home and you forgot. But here you're Yotzei with the Balat HaBayit, and therefore there's no need. I think these two, very briefly, these two machloket that we just saw are connected. Do you go by the objective halacha? Objective halacha is only need 1 candle. So as long as you lit even 1, you shouldn't have to be penalized. or do you go by the subjective, what is your personal minhag? I light 2, I light 7, I light 8, whatever. Just like the Prima Gadim was machmir, we go by the minhag of how many you light. Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmir, the minhag is that you light even at your mother's house. Whereas I think the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berura, and others like Rav Ozner who disagree, say we don't go by the minhag. We go by the objective halacha. The objective halacha is you only have to light one. Or objective halachas, you can rely on the Baal HaBayit. So that's just an interesting coalescence between overlap between those two machlokets.
Can you change the number of candles you light if you're away from home? So you just light
The minhag is even when you're away from home, even those who light more light only two.
Right.
That is the minhag. Yes, that's
so
also.
You could light one.
Yeah, technically. But you should, there's no reason not to light.
Even if you used to light two.
Yes, I think so. Unless you can't, I would light two.
Right.
But you certainly don't have to light the eight or whatever. Now, just to end the shiur, two quick points. Important points, though. One is, if you go back to the Mishnah Berura, he points out, a few sources up in the middle of the page, he points out that all of this is only if you were negligent. However, he says at the end of, this is the third source in section 4, where I have the 4, that's section 4. The third source is the Mishnah Berura. Take a look at the middle of the source. Okay, you see that Mishnah Berura, it says Sifkat and Zion. Right here. Okay? However, says the Mishnah Berura, Im ne'emsa v'lo hidlika kegon shaisa bebeit ha'isurim u'chayote bazeh ein tzarech lahosif. So he gives an extreme, rare example. Someone got let out of jail right before Shabbos. So they didn't light. So you're going to come, you know, announce in shul, mazel tov, Mrs. So-and-so got let out of jail. But you should know, you now have to light an extra candle the rest of your life. Welcome home. No, says the Mishnah Berura. She had no choice. She wasn't negligent. She was impossible. So speaking more down to earth and more commonly, the point is, we have to be distinguished between something that's more out of her hands or more flukish, and something in which she was really just irresponsible. Now, we're not talking about being bemazed. All of this is talking about an accidental. The chumrah is that we punish even someone who made an accidental mistake. That's the chumrah. That's what the Ramah didn't like, but the women accepted. But even, there's a difference between purely accidental when you were negligent and where you were completely fluke circumstances. What else constitutes a fluke circumstance? The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa speaks about a mother with young children. So when you're dealing with young children, it's not in your hands. You may think that you have plenty of time till Shabbos, and then, you know, this one started writing on the wall, and this one threw the diaper into the, you know, the cholent, and all sorts of things could happen. This is not Zman, it's not Zman Grama.
But that's what he's doing.
No, he's not. No, 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 no.
The theme is on the bias.
You're assuming that... That's...
The woman's in a hospital.
We're not talking about the hospital. The woman is home. She's planning on lighting. In the end, she didn't light. What happened? Because she was planning on lighting. She didn't forget.
But the man,
she got complete. She could. Yes. Had the husband realized. Had the man. But had he realized, he could have lit. But he didn't. So are you going to penalize her? After all, she didn't do it. She forgot. So says for Shabbos Nuchasa, that's Ne'ensa. Because it wasn't in your hands. What about a different case, which is a little bit trickier? I didn't put it on the sheet. But more gray, when it's all in your hands, not that you have children who are unpredictable. You yourself, the woman of the house, is doing some final Shabbos preparations. And she says in her mind, when I finish X, I'll do the candles. And then X ended up taking longer than she realized. Or X, there was also a Y she knew she had to do. And because of that, she, by the time she finishes whatever she was doing, oh my gosh, it's already too late. So the Rivavos Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, he thinks that that counts, he thinks that's poshea, that's negligent. You didn't forget, you just didn't prioritize. And therefore, he thinks in such a case you would have to add. Rav Avadya Yosef has a proof which we don't have time for me to give you the lumdus, because a very nice proof against the Rav Ephraim. He says, no, that would also count as an ones. If you're in the middle of something and you expected to have more time, and then it just didn't work out that way, so again, you could quit. You know, if you were playing Nintendo or whatever, I mean, I'm dating myself. I don't play Nintendo anymore. No, I'm not that old. Come, a Wii. Okay, if you're doing, you know, I don't know if that might, even Rav Avadya might agree, that would be a poshea. But if someone, in the case that he's talking about, someone is working on Shabbos preparations and just it gets more busy than they thought, the R poskim hora machmir for Rav Avadya felt you could be makel. And the reason I like Rav Avadya's psak in this case as well, he points out, he has a proof, but beyond the proof, one thing you see consistently in Rav Avadya about this topic is he loves the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe. He says, anyway, you see, the whole thing is a chumrah and the whole thing is a minog, and we didn't have to be machmer to begin with. So, no, we accepted it. What could we do? Rav Avadya doesn't say, he doesn't write it off as saying some Ashkenazi thing. He accepts it in certain circumstances, but he finds many, many kulas, even in the more ancient world. But let's end with one last topic, which is the modern world. We've talked a little bit indirectly about the issue of electricity. We have about 4 minutes left, 5 minutes till nine? Okay, and I'll try to finish in 2 minutes. So, a modern question is asked as follows. I already mentioned very briefly, I didn't do it justice at all, but I mentioned previously the idea that poskim in the modern era have had to come to grips with how to relate the traditional Shabbos candles to the watts, the thousands of watts coming out of the ceiling or in the lamp lights, whatever else you have in the room and in the house. And very much b'kitzur, many, many, if not most, if not virtually all modern poskim have basically come to a consensus that ein hachinami, they're both, there's like a shiluv, they're both part of the mitzvah. In fact, some poskim, in a paradigm shift, felt the need to defend how do you have a right to even make a bracha on the candles when they add almost nothing to your shalom bayis, to your anything. Shalom bayis defined as you don't want to be in the dark when you have all these candles. So there are answers, and the answers that the modern poskim give are ambiance and other things. There's still, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says there's still something different about a candle, a house with candles, than one without, even though it may not add any perceptible light. But given that background, the reality is candles, lights. Now I've situation, let's say completely negligent, a woman who finished all of her preparations 15 minutes before Shabbos, oh, well, let's use an American number of 18 minutes candles, so 25 minutes before she's done, she goes down to sit on the couch, she says, I have 7 minutes on candle lighting, I'll read a book, I'll go talk to my friend who is also ready, and she just completely loses track of time. That would be clearly a poshea, not a bad person doing it on purpose, but that's negligent. What about the fact, though, was she sitting in the dark because of her negligence? No, there's plenty of light in the house. There's thousands of watts coming out of the ceiling. Does that make a difference or not? So this is a three-way machlokas in the late 20th century poskim. We'll do it Baal Peh, but you can see two of the three sources inside, if you'd like. The Tzitz Eliezer, second to last source on your sheet. The Tzitz Eliezer says, this makes no difference at all. Shuvasihi shezelomishana klal. Doesn't make a difference. The mitzvah is the Shabbos candles. You didn't light them. You were negligent. You have to light. After all, he says, you're still missing the Shabbos candles. It's not that there's nothing missing. Plus, you didn't exactly add extra electricity. You didn't do anything. Plus, he himself, the Eliezer, is still not sold on the whole electricity thing anyway. He has four reasons, but the bottom line is he says it's nothing. That's the first opinion. There's a modern sefer, not as well known, called the Avnei Yashpi. It's actually an American posek who was living for many, many years. I can't remember which community. In the same community as the Baba Sali. Where did the Baba Sali live?
In the Tivot.
So there was an American Ashkenazi posek in the Tivot for many years. Then he recently moved back to Yerushalayim. So Feinhandler is his name. So in Avnei Yashpi, in his tshuva, he quotes that Avnei Yashpi had a middle position. Yashiv holds, it depends who turned on the dining room lights. If the woman herself turned on those lights, and so that's going to be part of the mitzvah of the Kavod and the Onik Shabbos, so then he says, B'dievet, if she forgot to light, you can rely on that. But if they come on because of a timer, or her husband turned on the Shabbos lights, then she can't rely on that. He says it depends on who turned on those lights. Very interesting. And the third opinion is the most lenient, and that's Rav Avadya Yosef, and that's the bottom of the page. And Rav Avadya Yosef, in essence, writes this halacha entirely out of halachic tradition in the modern world. Because Rav Avadya says the only time this halacha would ever apply nowadays is, I guess, maybe if you're on a camping trip or something and there's no other light. But if you're in a house where there's electricity, electric lights anyway, he says, you can always rely on that. Bizmanenu shemad likin b'chashmal l'ha'ir kalabayis im shakacha l'ha'lik neros shemen oshava ein sarach l'hosif klal. He says you can always rely on that, which is, in essence, writing this halacha off the books, because 99% of the time, you'll never know whether a person could rely on that Rav Avadya Yosef. Again, certainly a Sephardi would have more leniency to rely on this Rav Avadya. I can tell you, I was asked the Shaila a few times in my rabbinate. In a few of the cases, I was able to kind of, not justify, because it was a mistake, but I didn't think it was so negligent, and said, okay, but there was one case, I don't remember anymore why, there was one case where it really was an accident, but I thought it was a negligent accident, and I did tell that woman that I thought she would have to, in keeping with this halacha. Now, I didn't know about this opinion of Rav Avadya Yosef at the time. Had I known about it, would changed my opinion? Probably not. But I, honestly, I probably would have asked a more senior posek, maybe not Rav Avadya himself, but I don't know how accepted this psak is. It's a huge, huge leniency. To be that extreme to write a halacha basically off the books, that Rav Avadya can. I'm not questioning whether he can or not. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, yeah, and that Rav Avadya says, anyway, he has that. I'm not saying, if somebody says to me, I'm not doing it, even though I'm not adding a candle for the rest of my life, because Rav Avadya said I don't have to.
You're adopting the position of the seminary girls.
On that note, we'll call it a shiur. Shagach, thank you.